God has called us to worship Him this evening. Let us bow together for our invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Father, we enter Your presence this evening in solemn thankfulness as we prepare to read and to hear and to sing of the Passion of the Christ. We will read that the patriarchs and the prophets and the psalmists wrote of this Passion, though they did not fully understand. We will hear that Jesus walked this Passion completely, fulfilling Your word in every way, without fail, and to the fullest. And we will see that through the ugliness of sin, the mockery and accusations of enemies, and the agony of the cross, the Lamb was slain to bring many sons to glory. Father, as we ponder these things, we do ask that You would send Your Spirit upon us to apply the work of Christ richly in our hearts. By Your Spirit, draw us closer to our Lord and King, who for the joy that was set before Him, walked the lonesome valley alone, enduring the cross, despising its shame. And through Your Spirit this evening, Father, receive our solemn praise and our humble joy this night, and hear us now as we pray in the name of the Lamb, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The first lesson tonight is the betrayal. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 30. Hear the word of the Lord. When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am He. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in His spirit and testified, Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He spoke. One of His disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom He was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to Him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is He to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when He had dipped the morsel, He gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after He had taken the morsel, Satan entered into Him. Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why He had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, Buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, He immediately went out, and it was night. Let us stand together and sing Psalm number 41, verses 7 through 10, found in your bulletin in the sermon.
Thank you. This is the second lesson. Rejection comes from John 15, verses 18 through 27. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Thank you. third lesson, trial, comes from John 18, 28 through 19, verse 15. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to him, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside of the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, in an Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
The chapel choir will come forward. Thank you.
Our fourth lesson this evening is mocking. I'll be reading from Matthew 27, verses 24 through 34. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it.
The fifth lesson is the crucifixion, taken from John 19, 17 through 24. And he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city.
and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather write, 'This man said I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things.
Lord,
Sixth lesson, insults, taken from Matthew 27, 35 through 44. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way.
This is the seventh lesson, darkness. Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 49. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.'" The eighth lesson is committal from Luke 23, 44 through 49. "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last.
Now when a centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.
Thank you.
The final lesson is the death of Christ. The book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 37. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, as the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For those things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken, and another. They shall look on him whom they pierced.
One of the images that has particularly been on my mind this past week, we visited in the fifth lesson, and it's a very grim contrast, the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, while just under the shadow of the cross, you have these Roman soldiers gambling for his clothes. It's an offensive contrast. But I have no doubt in the minds of those Roman soldiers, they were thinking they had done their jobs. They had brought these three convicted men to Calvary. They had stripped them naked, as was the custom. They offered them the obligatory painkiller of a mix of wine and myrrh. They nailed them to the cross, and then they began the long process of waiting for them to die. And they were duty-bound as Roman soldiers. They had to stay there at the cross to make sure that the job was finished, so they had nothing to do but wait. And that could take hours, but typically it took days. And so while they're there under the shadow of the cross, they decided to divvy up Jesus' clothes. That was their traditional rite as his executioners. But they came to this cloak that belonged to Jesus, and we're told that it was costly, at least too costly to rip up and just divide as pieces of cloth, so they decided to gamble for it. So here you have the central event of human history, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man dying on the cross for the sins of the world, paying the price of our sin, paying the price of wickedness. And here are these men in the shadow of that playing games, tending to everyday affairs, tending to
life's business, tending to their work, completely oblivious as they go about their daily activity, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sin. What a contrast. And in their oblivion and in their ignorance and in their blind focus on things so temporal that are here today and gone tomorrow, they unwittingly fulfill a prophecy from Psalm 22 that was written 1,000 years prior. And we sang that tonight as well. But also unwittingly, those Roman soldiers became a picture of a world without God, dying beneath the shadow of the cross. And you can't help but ask, if only they could have known what was happening right above their very heads. And of course, that begs the question to us, do we know? We have to ask ourselves the question, what are we spending our time on in this life? What are we spending our resources on in this life? Are we going from day to day to day just so focused on the mundane, the everyday temporal, oblivious to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins and secured for us eternal life, 10,000 charms? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in that saving way, if you have not received him and his offer for forgiveness and eternal life, I'm glad you're here this evening. The Lord has you here to hear this message, and I want to encourage you to think about that. We're going to come to the table now, and I would ask, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way, to not partake as the meal comes by, but this would be a great time to spend in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and to give you the gift of faith that you might believe in him and have eternal life. If you do know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way and you're repentant of your sin and you're seeking to follow after him, the table is prepared for you. Come and find ease and refreshing and strength for your weak and wearied souls. I'm going to ask the men to come forward to prepare the table.